mercy. Surely not because of our goodness that he has bestowed all these good gifts to mankind. If you're visiting with us today, know that you're our honored guest. We appreciate your presence. It's always a joy to have visitors to come and to be with us in our worship to God. We thank Brother Eidelberg for having to serve in a couple of capacities today, but he's very versatile. If he needed to, he would even be able to preach today. Amen. He just has all of those wrapped up in one. And so we're very thankful that God has blessed us with him. I want to call your attention to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. This is in the... We're looking at our theme, the theme concerning cultivating unity. And I'm going to use this Old Testament passage to show the unity that was prophesied. And I'm hoping that you will be able to appreciate how it is come to fruition in the church of Christ, the body of Christ, right here among us. The Bible says, beginning at verse number 6, Isaiah 11 and verse number 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Those are snakes. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand as an ensign or banner or standard of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. I want to focus our attention on the word glorious and use for a subject the glory of our age, the glory of our age. When I say of our age, I am speaking of the glory of our time. What Isaiah is prophesying here is fulfilled in him, in Christ, and in the church, which you and I are privileged to be members of. When I think in terms of the world in which we live, there is so much discord, there is so much dispute and debate. You hear it every day in almost every place and avenue in which one listens or sees. Disharmony, dissonance, and disagreement is part of everyday experience. But in this text, we find something that is very, very unusual. And it seems that Isaiah wants us to see the unnatural. We know that it's not natural for a wolf and a lamb to live together. Wolves and lambs, from a natural point of view, I don't think the lamb has that much against the wolf, but the wolf seems to have a whole lot against the lamb. Leopards do not lie down with kids or goats. Leopards eat the goats, and they seek to devour them. Calves and young lions. Notice he is focusing in on the youth of these animals. He says the calf, not the cow, but the calf and the young lion and the fatling, that's a sheep or a lamb of 1 year old. They are together. And then he highlights by saying, when you put the calf and the young lion and the young lamb together, then he says, a little child shall lead them. And then he says something else that's unnatural. A cow and a bear shall feed. Now, they usually don't eat together. Bears and cows don't eat together. Their young ones shall lie down together. So the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And so when you see the age in which the prophet is speaking of, he's talking about something that is unnatural happening. And what I want to do this morning, I want to show you that you and I are living in the day where the wolf and the lamb dwell together. Now, Isaiah does this by beginning at verse number 1, helping us to see that this will be in the age of the Messiah. Messiah is the Hebrew term, but Christ is the Greek term. So in the Old Testament, he will be known as Messiah. In the New Testament, he will be known as the Christ. And both terms means the anointed one. God is preparing for an anointed person, an anointed person to come and to bring in and usher in a time of peace and a time of unity. And that's why he emphasizes in verse number 1, when he says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, which means that he will be of the descendant of David. Jesse is the father of King David. So the prophet is saying that when Messiah comes, he will come out of the rod of the stem of Jesse. Now, I like the New International Version because it says that a shoot, which is a twig, will come up from the stump. Now, when he says that Jesse is a stump, that means that Jesse, when the Messiah comes, he will be not looked upon as being very strong. He will be looked upon as a stump. But out of that stump, a twig is going to come, who is the Messiah. And a branch, watch this, a branch shall grow out of his roots. So the Messiah, who I know is Jesus Christ, was in a very humble beginning when he came to this earth. He was born of poor parents. Joseph, who was of the lineage of Jesse and of the lineage of David. So he was born to a very poor carpenter and a poor virgin. Well, but you got to see, though he had a humble beginning, our Messiah has a humble beginning. He is going to grow. And he's going to become the glorified Savior of the world. We're living in an age where we are to see that our time is a glorious one because Christ has come. Messiah has come. There is an episode in the New Testament where Jesus Christ came riding on a donkey, and he came into Jerusalem riding on this donkey, and they took off their coats and they laid them before him, and they cut off palm branches and laid them before him, and they made this cry, Hosanna is the king, or Hosanna is the son of David. They saw him as the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies that Jesus was coming in the likeness, or in the fulfillment rather, of Isaiah, Zechariah, Jeremiah, and all of these individuals. Even Jesus himself said, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Jesus Christ, when he came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say that you are Jeremiah, or you're Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he turned and said, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter was right when God revealed to him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus was overwhelmed. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Jesus is the Christ. When Peter preached the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, he said, you with wicked hands, you took and crucified the Son of God, but God hath raised him from the dead and made him both Lord and Christ. Acts 2 and verse number 36. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. And I'm happy and I'm glad to know that the age in which I serve God and where I am in God is the age of the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. Now, in the second point, I want you to see that it is also a glorious time in which you and I live because it is the age of the Holy Spirit. In verse number 2, the Bible says in Isaiah 11, the Bible said, and you all can follow me upstairs if you don't mind. In Isaiah 11 and verse number 2, I want you to see this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord shall what? Rest upon him. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon whom? Shall rest upon Messiah. Shall rest upon the Christ. And when Jesus Christ was baptized of John the Baptist, you remember John didn't want to baptize him. Said, I have need to be baptized of thee. But you know, Jesus said, suffer to be so, John. He said, for it's for us to fulfill all righteousness. And he baptized Jesus of Nazareth. But when he came up out of the water, immediately the heavens opened. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then the Bible said, John said, I saw the Spirit descending and lighting upon him, resting upon him. That was another occasion. John made it known. I knew he was the Christ, for I knew that when the Spirit came and rested upon him, I knew that he was the Christ. I am simply saying the reason. This is a glorious age, a glorious time in which to live as members of the body of Christ. It's because of our Savior Jesus Christ, who is the great Messiah, and because this is the time of the Holy Spirit. John said that I baptize you with water, but the one coming after me, greater than I am, said I'm not worthy to stoop down and unlatch his shoe. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And you know, Jesus made the promise, said I'm going away, but if I go away, I'll send him to you. That is the Holy Spirit. John 14, 26. John 16 and verse number 13. He promised the Holy Spirit to come. What I like about this Spirit, that Isaiah said, when the Spirit comes and rests upon him, it will be a spirit of wisdom. It will be a spirit of understanding. It'll be a spirit of counsel. It will be a spirit of might. It will be a spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So when the Holy Spirit came into the life of Jesus Christ and the Spirit was given to him, and the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse number 34 that God giveth him the Spirit without measure. You got to understand that this Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, is coming in the power of the Holy Spirit, but is also coming to pour out the Holy Spirit upon all of the believers who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do you know, Brother Gibbs? Glad you asked me. Acts 2 and verse number 37, they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Every person in this age that has obeyed the gospel, you have and you are in possession of God himself through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of the golden age. And you know the Bible is right. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8 and verse number 7, put that on the screen. Romans 8 and verse number 7. I keep looking for the screen on that screen, but it's right there up above me. Amen. On the wall. Amen. All right, but watch what the Bible says in verse number, let's go to verse number 8. Romans 8 and verse number 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot what? Please God. Cannot please God. But ye are not what? In the flesh. If you're a child of God, you're not in the flesh. But you're in the what? Come on, in the what? In the Spirit. If so be that the what? The Spirit of God does what? Dwell where? In you. Are you with me? Now, if any man have what? Not the Spirit of whom? The Spirit of Christ. Notice now, he said, have not the Spirit of whom? Christ. I told you Christ is Messiah. Christ is the one that Isaiah spoke concerning. When you and I in this age become members of the body of Christ, we are in possession of the Spirit of the Messiah, the Spirit of the Christ. Isn't that beautiful? And so you and I have this wonderful blessing. But watch this now. The Bible said, you are none of his. And if Christ be in you, and the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell where? In you. He that raised up Christ from the dead, that's the Messiah, shall also what? Quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit. What? That what? Dwelleth where? In you. Why am I living in the age of glory? Because this is the age of the Messiah. Why am I living in the age of glory? Because this is the age of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not given to everybody, but is given to the child of God, those who are members of the body of Christ. Why, Brother Gibbs, is this the glory age? Because of Isaiah, who talked about the Messiah coming as a branch, coming as a root or stem out of Jesse. Why is this the golden age? Because on him, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. Wisdom will come from him. Understanding will come from him. Are you with me? Counsel will come from him. Might will come from him. Knowledge will come from him. The fear of God will come from him through the Spirit of God. But listen to me. You need to also hear what Isaiah said in verse number 3. I'm coming to verse number 6, but I gotta move methodically there because I want you to see the argument of Isaiah. Isaiah is talking about our day and time. I'm convinced of that. But in verse number 3, he said, and shall make him of quick understanding. That's talking about the Messiah. That's talking about the Christ. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. It won't be a personal judgment. Neither reprove thee after the hearing of the ears. I'm not going to judge by hearsay. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with iniquity for the meek of the earth. In other words, he's going to be a champion for the poor. He's going to be a champion for those who are less fortunate. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. That's what the word, and with the breath of his lips shall they slay the wicked. In other words, he's going to draw a line between the righteous and the wicked. And the wicked are going to be in trouble because he's coming as a judge to the wicked. I know you say, well, Brother Gibb, we're living in times when things are not equal. We're living in a time when things are, there's much injustice in the world. We're living in a time when people seem to care nothing about truth and righteousness. But I got news for you. We're living in a body and in a church that has the Messiah and has the Holy Spirit, but he's a judge and he makes a difference between the righteous and the wicked. If you want to know what's righteous, you come into the church of Christ. You want to know what's right, you come into the church of Christ. Why? Because the Lord is making a judgment between right and wrong. That's why I am proud to be a member of the church of Christ. I'm proud to be a preacher in the church of Christ because this is the age of glory. And he saw that. Oh, y'all a good audience. This second service, I love it. Amen. Amen. They froze me in the first one, but y'all going to let me go on and preach in the second. Am I right about it? Well, all right, now let's come on back down to earth. Now, listen to me. I want you to look at another passage with me. And we read it all the time, but I want to go to Isaiah 28, and I want to look at verse number 16. And then I'm going to get to the passage that deals with the wolf and the bear and all of that. But I want you to watch this. This is beautiful because the Bible said, therefore, thus said the Lord God. Now, this is Isaiah, the same Isaiah who wrote chapter 11. He's writing chapter 28. He said, therefore, thus said the Lord God, behold, I what? Lay where? In Zion for what? A foundation of what? A stone. A what kind of stone? Tried stone. A what? A precious what? Cornerstone. A what? Sure foundation. He that what? Believeth shall make haste. Shall not make haste. All right? Now, when I know it's the Messiah, I know that's the Messiah because Peter said, this is the stone which was set in order you build it, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. I'm telling you, Peter knew that this is the glory time or the time of glory when the Messiah would come. But now watch the next verse. This is really what I want you to see. Verse 17. Watch this. Judgment what? Also will I what? Lay to the what? I lay to the what? To the lion. And righteousness to the what? To the plumbed lion. In other words, what I'm simply saying is that I'm going to set things right. And I'm going to have a just scale and a just measurement. In the body of Christ, you and I have a king that cannot lie, will not lie, and will not misjudge. Now, I know you can go to the courts today, and the courts, I'm just being honest with you, you may not get a fair trial. You may get somebody that's very biased against you. They can turn on you just because of the color of your skin, whether you're male or female, old or young. It's just their preference. But in the body of Christ, in the church of Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who judges all, he judges all men right. He judges me right. He judges you right. He judges the world right. And if the world wants righteousness, they got to come into the church of Christ. Amen, Walls. And amen, Light. All right. All right. And shall what? Sweep away what? The refuge of what kind? Lies. I don't think some people in Washington read this. And the water shall what? Overflow their what? In other words, God said, I'm going to uncover everything. Well, that's why I'm saying we're living in a time of glory. And as I close, I want to go back to my text. I want to show you that when he talks about the wolf dwelling with the lamb and the leopard lying down with the kid, the calf, the young lion, and the baby sheep, or the lamb, and being led by a little child, he's not speaking. Hear me well. He's not speaking literally. This is not sometime in the future when Jesus is going to come back to this earth. There's no scripture that ever says that he's coming back to this earth. He says he's coming back in the clouds, and we're going to meet him in the air, and then we're going to go away with him to dwell with him. The Bible does not teach that the Lord is going to come back and establish a kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. This is not that millennial that they're talking about. We're already in the millennial. We're already in the 1,000 years. We're already in the kingdom of God and not coming to set up a kingdom. But when you look at this passage, I know it causes a lot of concern, because what you see depicted here does not seem to be a reality in the body of Christ, less long in the world in which we live. In other words, you see a lot of animosity and a lot of division and a lot of this and a lot of that. I understand that, and I believe that God understood that, but you're still living in the age of glory. And the reason I know that is because the Lord put in the body of Christ everything that you need to fix any division and any cliques and any animosity among people. God can fix it in the church. God can fix it in the world. God can fix it anywhere if we just take his word and let his spirit live inside of us. He's not talking about a literal wolf. He's not talking about a literal leopard. What he's talking about is really you and me. In other words, some of us got wolf. Mm-hmm. Some of us got some wolf in us. And some of us have some leopard in us. Mm-hmm. And some of us got some bear in us. And some of us got some lion in us. And that's the problem in the world. When you got these animals walking around on 2 feet and living in homes and trying to run the government and trying to do this and do that. But the Lord is in the business of changing the spirit of a man. He's regenerating a man. That's why if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. He's not working on the outside, but he's working on the inside. He's changing our spirit and changing our heart. In other words, the Lord is taking that wolf out of you, taking that leopard out of you, that lion out of you, that bear out of you. And now you're able to sit down together. Oh, leopards and wolves get divorces. Amen. I know y'all don't like that now. But. Yeah, because it's just, you know. Well, anyway, Brother Gibbs, stay with your lesson. All right, I am with my lesson. All right, I'm simply saying that anything can be taken care of in the body of Christ. I know I'm right. I need a scripture. Go and get for me Romans 14, and I want Romans 15 rather, and I want to show you something. I know he's talking about a metaphor, and I know that Isaiah 11. Is what he's talking about right here. Now, Brother Brother Idleberg, you're on a phone, but the Bible is on that, right? All right now. All right, but that's good. Now watch this now. Romans 15 and verse number 7. I want you to, now I knew it was. I'm just having a little levity here. But watch this now. Oh, this is beautiful. Don't miss this now. Romans 15 and verse number 7. Read. What does the Bible say? Wherefore receive ye, watch this. Wherefore receive ye one another. In other words, you and I have to accept, That's what the word receive means. It means you gotta accept one another. Now, you may be a wolf and I may be a lamb, but we have to do what? Receive one another. Wolves and lambs need to receive, accept one another. Come on, what does the Bible say? As Christ also what? Received us. Now, what I see here is that God, who is divine, turned around and received a sinful man. Divine or divinity accepted flesh. God reached outside of himself, came, identified with you and me, took you just like you are. Well, I don't want to, because what I'm about to say, I don't want to apply to you, but he took a heathen and took a worldly saint, a whoremonger and all that stuff. That's why I didn't want to look at it, because I know that ain't him. Am I right about it? No, 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 no. But the Lord received him. Am I right about it? Right. Come on, come on. Read.
To the glory of God.
Oh, to the what? To the glory of God. Oh, man, that's something. Watch it. Come on, read.
Now I say that Jesus Christ.
Now I say what?
That Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Was a minister.
Was a minister.
Of the circumcision.
Of the circumcision.
For the truth.
For the what?
For the truth.
Come on, read.
Of God.
Mm-hmm.
To confirm the promises made unto the fathers.
Oh, wait. To confirm the promises made unto the fathers.
Yes, sir.
In other words, Otis, everything I said to the prophets and to those under the Old Testament, Jesus is the fulfillment of it.
Oh, my.
Huh?
Yes,
come on, read.
That's it. And the Gentiles might glorify
God. Oh, that the Gentiles, see,
yes,
Jews and Gentiles have no dealing with one another. But Paul is saying, y'all got to learn how to accept one another. In other words, wolves.
That's all right. That's good.
And lambs. Leopards. And goats. Got to learn how to deal with one another. Come on, read.
For his mercy.
Come on.
As it is written.
Oh, as it is what?
Written.
Where? Old Testament.
Yes.
Read.
For this cause, I will confess to thee among the Gentiles.
Oh, so he's saying, y'all going to have to accept these Jews, because I said a long time ago that that's what I was going to do. Huh? Come on, read.
And sing unto thy name.
Come on.
And again he says, rejoice ye, Gentiles, with his people.
Oh. So he set up a system where Jews and Gentiles got to come together. He's telling you, receive one another.
That's right.
Huh?
That's it.
Come on, hurry right quick.
And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people.
All right, come on.
And again, Isaiah
said. Oh, again, who said?
Again, Isaiah.
Again, who?
And again, Isaiah said.
Said what?
He said, there shall be a root of Jesse.
Oh, wait. I want to know, where did he say there'd be a root of Jesse? Isaiah 11, verse 1 and verse 10.
That's good.
So here what I know. I know that's not talking about some future millennial. He's talking about the kingdom right now. Come on, read.
Oh, that's good. And he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust.
Come on, read.
Now the God of hope fill you with all joy.
This is why I call it. That's why I say I'm in the glory kingdom. I'm in the glory age. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, young people and middle-aged people, listen to me well. We in the church of Christ are the only people who can teach unity the way the Bible really teaches it. Denominationalism can't do it because they got to justify division. No, I know I'm right. No. If you're divided against and y'all don't worship together and y'all not dwelling together, you got to somehow try to justify why you over there and I'm over here. Amen. But when you're in the church of Christ, when you're in the Lord's body, if you're over there and I'm over here, I can tell you you're wrong and maybe I'm wrong. Probably am, but... Church, don't let people back us off.
Amen.
That wolf and that lamb, that leopard, again, he did not go in and try to change the leopard outwardly. He changed him inwardly. In other words, when you walk up on him, he still looks like a wolf.
Come on, man.
Whew. But then when the wolf doesn't growl at you, and the wolf lets you come over there and pat him, say, oh, this is a good wolf. Something happened to this wolf. By now, my hand ought to be gone. I'm still rubbing on him and batting on him. And the lamb say, okay, I feel like I can go on and lay down here next to him. You know what happens to us in our homes? We don't let the Holy Spirit change us from the inside. I know I can be a wolf sometimes. I know I can be a leopard, and I know all of that. But it's in the church that I learned wolf mentality and wolf nature is not supposed to be in the church.
Amen.
Not supposed to be in my home.
Right.
So when I see that wolf coming out, I go home, I go to the bathroom, look at him. Have a little talk, just a little talk with myself. Come on. Amen. Out of the bathroom.
Amen.
I still look like it, but that's not me. That's what we got to do. Sometimes even in the church, you know, we got that mentality, that wolf.
Amen.
And that. So all I'm saying is that we're going to have to learn how to dwell together.
Amen.
And this is what, and I'm closing for sure. You and I must realize that we are in the glory age of God's purpose for the world. The fulfillment of the Messiah is here. The Holy Spirit that brings us wisdom, counsel, understanding, truth is here. Righteousness is part of this kingdom by the judge Jesus Christ. And then our natures go under cultivation, where we start cultivating the kind of spirit that God wants us to have. And that is a spirit like our Messiah.
Amen.
The spirit like our Christ. And when we have that, then we can accept one another and we can live in peace.
Amen.
May God bless you. May God keep you. If you're not a part of the body of Christ, I beg you to become a member of the body, the church of Christ. Amen. You do that by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, and confessing Christ to be the Son of God. Buried with him in the water grave of baptism, which is for the remission of sin. When you come into the church, you come not only into the church, but you come into Christ and his church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. You need the Lord. Why don't you give your life to him? Come on. Come on, wolf. Come on, wolf. Come on, come on, come on, leopard. Bear. Come on. Come on in while together we stand and sing. Come on in.
Somebody's knocking at your door.